hold on, there was a part that I wanted to talk about that I forgot to put in the script, but I'm gonna talk about it at the end anyway, so I'll make it up. Okay, that part's getting cut out, or put as the cold open, probably more likely, actually. Okay. Erica.
Hi, Lindsay.
How are
you doing today? I'm sorry.
No,
I missed the
you
call.
Have a story. You have a story to tell, so we'll ask you how you're doing first.
Oh yeah. So I let no one say I'm not living my life to the fullest right now. Today, huge milestone, I got my first tattoo. It looks really
Woo.
cute. It's super cool. Yesterday, another first, I got my first set of stitches.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, my life is a little bit in shambles. I basically, I was in lab, being a normal lab person, washing my glassware, and as I was washing one of the flasks, I, started dropping it. So I did what any person would try to do and tried to catch it. Instead, it shattered on the lip of the sink, and I punched the glass.
Oh.
So, one of my lab mates, all he heard was a crash and me saying, "Ouch." And he was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I think so." But then I looked down, glove was split and I was bleeding. So I was like, "Okay, maybe not." So I took it off, ran it underwater for a while. And then I was like, "Okay, this is clearly the bleeding is not stopping. So I'm gonna grab a paper towel." In the process, I bled on the hose on our sink, the lab bench, the DCM bottle. Then I got a paper towel, I wrapped it. I was like, "Oh no, I've caused a biohazard. I have to fix this." So I grabbed another paper towel to start cleaning up in the meantime as Drake is asking me what I need to bandage it, et cetera. And Jachi is there trying to help too, so I did all of this. And they're like, "First of all, why are you cleaning? Second of all, you've already bled through that paper towel." I was like, "I've what?" Jachi's like, "We're going to the student health center. We're going to the medical center." I was like, "Okay." So I got another paper towel and one to go. We walked over to the medical center, which it's not that close. It's not that close. So we walked to the medical center. We got in. They have a different check-in thing to screen you for COVID first. They're like, "Are you here for a COVID screening?" I was like, "No, I just cut myself on glassware in the lab and I'm bleeding. I might need stitches." And they're like, "Let me go ask someone about this." They had to go ask the, because they were just students at the front. They had to go
Yeah,
ask
oh
someone who
yeah.
actually works there. And then they came back like, "Is it bleeding heavily?" I was like, "Well, I'm on my second paper towel, but I haven't bled through this one yet." And I was like, "Oh, nope, I lied. I lied. I'm starting to bleed through this one now." And so they went back, and then they came back, they're like, "Yeah, we can't treat you without an appointment because of COVID." I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me schedule in advance the fact that I'm going to slice my finger open and I will make an appointment with
Oh my
you.
God.
This is my bad." They're like, "And we're going to close soon." I was like, "There's no one in this building. Fucking what?" So I had to go back. Jachi, in the meantime, is insisting that we go back to the lab first, actually get a real band-aid, because now I'm on my third paper towel. So we went back to the lab. We got band-aids, etc. The whole time, she's like, "Are you gonna pass away? Are you gonna pass away?" Because English isn't her first language. So I was like, "Jachi, I think it's hilarious that you're asking me if I'm gonna die. But no, I'm not gonna pass out. I'm not going to fall asleep. It's okay. I didn't lose that much blood. It's just a pinky wound." So we got back up to lab. I got the band-aid on. I shoved all my stuff in the bag. I was like, "All right, I'm going to an urgent care. I'll see y'all bitches later." I was like, "Jachi, I need you to do this for my reaction when I'm gone." She's like, "Why are you thinking about that? You're bleeding." I was like, "Well, this is important. I'm on my last step. It took me weeks to get here." I was like, "I need you to turn it off of heat soon." She's like, "Get out." So I went to an urgent care. Drove myself there. It's like 15 minutes from the school. So, I also, on my way out, I passed Jason, who you might remember from episode 3 of our podcast. And I was like, "Hey, Jason." He's like, "How are you?" I'm like, "I'm doing great. How about you?" And he took his headphone out and it looked like he was going to start a conversation. And I power walked past him. I was like, "I'm not doing this right now." So I felt a little bit bad. But then I went to the urgent care and I was like, "Hi, urgent care. I need treatment. I cut my finger open. It might need stitches." They're like, "Did this happen at work?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm a grad student. What counts as work?" So I was like, I don't know, like, I was doing research, which is part of what I do as a grad student, but I get paid for the teaching part, not the researching part, and they're like, yeah, this is a workman's comp claim. We need this form filled out before we can treat you. I was like, I'm bleeding!
I feel bleeding! Like, why does no... The first people were students, but, like, still, this seems important. You're losing a lot of blood.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, let me hot glue this back together, just a sec. I'm sure this will work.
Where's the sense of urgency?
I know!
You're dripping blood everywhere.
I know! So I grabbed the form from her. She's like, this is the form you need to fill. I was like, thanks. I felt kind of bad because I aggressively punched it into my backpack, like shoved it in. I was like, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I made it all the way out to my car. I shut the car door, locked the car door, and I just screamed. Because they're like,
they didn't even let you fill it out in the thing?
I didn't know who to call to fill it out.
Oh, like, it wasn't just usually... like, I work here.
No.
This is what happened. Oh, my
I was like,
God.
I had to call, like, my university representative. I was like, I don't know who the fuck that is. So, I got to the car. I screamed. Like, you know how sometimes you just get really, really mad and you just need to?
Yeah.
I let it all out. And then I looked and there was someone in the car next to me. And I was like, cool. Great. I'm on the phone with my dad after this point. I'm yelling at my dad. Well, yelling to my dad about how fucking pissed I am, because I needed to check if we had, like, money on the insurance card so I could pay for this not out of my own pocket. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also very aggressively driving myself to the ER. I get to the ER, I walk inside, and the nurse ignores me for 5 minutes at the check-in desk. I was just standing there. I was like, I'm bleeding. And she was like, eventually she looked up from her paperwork. She's like, what are you here for? I was like, I cut my finger. I think I need stitches. I'm bleeding. She's like, fill out this form. I was like, another form. So I filled out my information, handed her back the form. She's like, all right, go sit down. We'll call you when we're ready. I was like, okay. So I get called. I was like, hooray, I'm being seen. No. They took my temperature, my blood pressure, and my weight. And they're like, all right, go sit back down. I was like, okay. So I sat back down. Then I get called again. I was like, I'm being seen. Hooray. No. They were checking me in again. They're like, all right, so take the Band-Aid off so we can see it. I was like, oh, God. So I took the Band-Aid off. It was really nasty. I hate looking at, like, that sort of thing, so it was freaking me the fuck out. They're like, all right, so bend. I was like, okay, I bent it. They're like, flex. I was like, okay. Like, we can bend and straighten. We're cool on that. I was like, this, that, and the other thing. Gave them the information. They're like, all right, cool. Go sit down. We'll call you when a room's ready. I was like, why? Why? Like, this happened at 3 p.m. At this point, it's probably closer to 5. So then I finally get called a third time. I go back. The nurse is like, oh, what'd you do? I was like, I cut my finger open on glassware in the lab. He's like, how'd you do that? And I told him. And when I was like, so I went to grab it, but instead I punched it as it was shattering. He just laughed at me. I was like, don't laugh at me. I am having a bad day.
Laugh at me after you sew this back up. Laugh later.
Right?
Stitch now.
Laugh later. So then he brought me to this room. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought they marked this as clean. And they didn't wait out here. So I had to wait in the hallway across from the nurse's station. Everything is busy in that area. I just kind of, like, backed myself up as much as possible to, like, get out of the way. And someone even asked, like, oh, are you trying to get through here? I was like, no, I'm waiting. And the nurse came out. He's like, she's waiting on me. I was like, So then he let me in. The guy comes in. He gets me registered a few minutes later. And he's like, so did this happen at work? I was like, I don't know how to answer this. He's like, how do you not know how to answer this? I was like, well, here's the situation. He's like, oh, yeah, that is complicated. I was like, yeah, it is. So he's like, well, here's the form in case it's covered by workman's comp. If it is, call us back before we send out billing. I was like, okay. So dealt with that. In comes the PA a few minutes later, first of all. Not to get all night veil on you, but, like, oh, Carlos, perfect, beautiful Carlos with his teeth like a row of military gravestones. His name was Carlos. He was the physician's assistant. He was very attractive. He had great biceps and also tattoos. And I was like, oh, hello, Carlos. Unfortunately, in with Carlos comes the lovely Emily, who's a student. And she's the one who's going to be doing the work. So they ask to see my finger, they see it, they make me bend it, they make me flex it, they're like, alright, and when was your last tetanus? I was like, it's definitely out of date. I have no idea when it was. They're like, alright, so we'll update you on that too. Lindsay, I am terrified of medical needles. I am so scared of them. So as soon as I left the room, I started bawling. I started crying. I was like, how have I made it, first of all, this long without actually breaking down? Second of all, a shot's what's gonna send me over the edge. The fact that I now also have to get a shot on top of it. And my COVID vaccine is tomorrow. So I was like, I'm freaking the fuck out. I called my mom and she was like, hey, mom. She's like, hey, Erica, I'm dropping off right now. Is this urgent or can I call you back in like 5 minutes? I was like, you can call me back in 5 minutes as I'm sitting in the hospital ER. Mm-hmm. She didn't know, obviously. So she calls back. I'm like, hey, mom. So I figured dad is going to forget to tell you because he always forgets to tell her. I was like, but right now I'm in the ER getting stitches because I cut open my finger and left. She's like, that was urgent, Erica. Why did you tell me to hang up? I was like, well, I can't do anything about it now. I'm just sitting here waiting. So all this happens. I'm on the phone with my mom. I cry to get on the phone with my mom. I was like, and I can't keep crying because the doctor's hot. I was like, he can't see me like this. She's like, okay, well then stop crying. I was like, this is not helpful. So then he comes back in while I'm on the phone with my mom, not crying at this point.
Well, that's good.
I was like, all right, mom, bye, bye. Bye, mom, I'm leaving, bye. She's like, what? I'm like, they're here, I'm going. And I hung up. They got me all situated. Carlos was on one side of me, Emily was on the other side, and she was the one taking care of my cut. So I guess this is one of her first, like, she must be new. She must be new, or at least hasn't done this before.
Oh my God.
Because Carlos was telling her, he was like, all right, so you want to, like, clean it out first. I was like, oh God, she that new? Really?
I feel like maybe this is a bad take, but I feel like residents should not do the first year, maybe even the first two, in the ER. That seems like very high stress. Seems like the best place to learn how to do stuff.
Yeah, right? And she's not like a resident. She's a physician's assistant. Like, she's in PA school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who is in school should not train in the ER. That seems dangerous for all parties.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was asking him, he's like, okay, so she, like, cleaned it out, she's being let off. He's like, you need to be a little bit gentler because we didn't numb it yet. So this is hurting her. I was like, well, thank you, Carlos, because I'm clearly not saying anything. After this happens, like, he turns around and, like, grabs me. He's like, you doing okay? I was like, I'm fine! I'm fine! Like, you know how my voice gets really squeaky and too loud when that happens? Yeah, so he was like, all right, that's good to hear. I'm like, ah, he totally bought it! He did not. He definitely did not buy it. But, like, I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm passing. People don't know. They don't know how freaked out I am. They did. So Emily then is asking Carlos, she's like, okay, so with the Novocaine, like, how much of this do I draw up? I was like, why are you asking him this in front of me? He's like, well, you just draw up the whole thing, but you're only going to inject, like, 1 to 2 milliliters. He's explaining to me, like, what I'm going to feel. I'm like, okay, well, just so you know, I can't look. So I covered my eyes when she was doing it. Hurt like a bitch. It sucked. But perfect, beautiful Carlos squeezed my shoulder and was like, you are doing such a good job. I was like, thanks. I want to die. And then he, like, essentially reopened the cut so that she could stitch it. Lovely Emily, she did her stitches. She got overzealous. I needed 3. She gave me 5.
Jesus.
So I've got many stitches in my finger now. It took about 4 hours for this whole thing from start to finish. And then I finally got home and I was like, I don't want to exist anymore. This is fucking stupid. So I had a wild day, and then I was like, still getting my tattoo, let's go, hot girl summer. And here we are.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's been like 10 hours since my last meal, so.
Well, I'm glad that your finger is still attached to you, mm-hmm. and that Emily didn't, I don't know, sew it to your face or something.
Like, she was so sweet. She just is also clearly new.
I think that Mr. Carlos would have, he should have asked you about it, because I feel like you have the right to say no.
It's fine.
I mean, it's fine now, but
he was pretty, at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you survived. On a different, on a different note, you want to talk about some cryptids?
Why would I want to do that? Actually, yeah. Talking about cryptids is going to make my week infinitely better. I would love to hear about some cryptids.
I mean, we can talk about my medical history, too, but I haven't been to the doctor in, like, 2 years, so. No, that's a lie. I went when I, last summer, when I tried to go running, I swear to God, I did, like, half a mile 3 days in a row, and then I could not move my knee. So I went to the doctor, and they're like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know, like, I've been running, And then now my knee just hurts really bad. And they're like, yeah, you should probably not run anymore. And I was like, okay. I'm trying to be healthy, but if you're telling me no and you're a doctor, I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah, honestly, like, don't try anymore. It's over.
No. Yeah, running sucks. Anyway. But back to, what the show is supposed to be about. Us violating HIPAA some more.
It's not violating HIPAA if I tell you.
That's correct.
Wait. Can I include a detail I forgot?
Sure.
My boss emailed me about it today because obviously we had to let him know. He sent me an email. The subject line, all lowercase, was just stitches question mark, but he spelled it without the second T. So he spelled it Stiches. This is the smartest man I know. He's got a PhD in chemistry.
Oh my Lord.
He's just stitches question mark, and then he spelled it the same way in the body of the
Does
email. I
his
was like,
phone not
I'm
have autocorrect?
his phone and Outlook absolutely have autocorrect.
I don't get it.
It's just so funny to me.
Good Lord.
Stitches question mark,
Stitches?
spelled wrong. Stiches.
Steeches?
Anyway, tell me about cryptids. What's up?
So, we have done a few, maybe just one, I guess, plant cryptid in the past. But we've done a lot of animal cryptids. But have you heard about legendary zoophytes?
No.
Okay. So, zoophytes are organisms thought to be the step between plant and animal, and they were the topic of much debate in a lot of like naturalists, before we knew about real science. They talked, I think it kind of died out at the turn of the century. I think Darwin used the term zoophytes, but he was pretty much like the last one, and then they figured out that there's not really animals that are also plants.
Okay.
So while the term itself is now obsolete, the academic papers about zoophytes, academic in quotes, they still remain. And today we're going to be talking about the vegetable lamb of Tartary.
I'm sorry, what?
The vegetable lamb of Tartary.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's actually really neat. I'm also excited about it. So, the vegetable lamb of Tartary. Also, it has a very good name. So the vegetable lamb of Tartary, also called the Boromets, or just simply the vegetable lamb, was a plant cryptid and zoophyte in Central Asia. Earlier naturalists believed that it was like a plant and it grew melons or gourds, which would in turn hatch these vegetable lambs for which the plant was named. So they weren't they could like move around and stuff, but they weren't animals, they were plants.
Weird.
We're going to need to suspend some disbelief because, like I said, nobody knew shit about fuck. This was like the 1200s.
Oh, okay.
These are old. So, like I said, the description of the cryptid kind of evolved over time. So at first they were described as a plant that grew something that kind of hatched these plant matter lambs. But in his 1887 book titled The Vegetable Lamb of Tartary, Henry Lee described the organism not to be both plant and animal, but a combination of the two. So Lee described the fully animal lambs as being attached to the plant by a kind of umbilical cord, which allowed it to graze in the area surrounding it. Once all the grass was eaten, both the lamb and the plant would die. The lamb would also die if the cord was severed and it was detached from the plant. The lamb sprouted fully formed, and instead of horns, they had two tufts of white hair. Drawings of the zoophyte showed the lamb sticking straight up on the plant. So the umbilical cord was kind of like yucca plants, like they have those stalks that just stick straight up. So imagine that, but with like a baby sheep on top of it. And the stalk was bendable, so the sheep could like go down and like eat all the grass, and then when it was tired, it would just shoot back up.
Aw, cute.
So the lamb was edible and it had like blood and meat and stuff. And it said it that the blood tasted as sweet as honey. And local people would use their wool to make clothing. And I think Wikipedia specifically said ceremonial hats, which is fun.
Always fun.
I don't know why just ceremonial hats, but. And according to the locals, the plant also attracted wolves, but specifically no other carnivores preyed on the lamb. So it was just wolves.
Okay.
So let's take it back to some older descriptions. So a 14th century book is credited with bringing the legend of the vegetable lamb to the European public, which inspired explorers to hunt for the plant. Out of these hunts, a few different explanations and descriptions arose. So, like I said before, early tellings described a plant that bore some sort of fruit, usually described as a melon or a gourd, and then the fruit would hatch a fully fledged lamb. It's said that the lambs looked like real sheep, like they had been born naturally, but they didn't have any wool.
Imagining kind of like a hairless cat situation.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of yucky.
Gross.
And then in the mid-1500s, Sigismund Baron von Herberstein... fun.
What a name.
Who was the Roman Empire's ambassador to Russia at some points in his life, presented a newer description in his Notes on Russia. He gave the location of the creature as being near the Caspian Sea between the Jayak and Volga rivers. Definitely said the first one wrong. So the creature, like the plant and the stalk and the lamb, would grow melon-like seeds. They sprouted from melon-like seeds, and it was said to grow 2.5 feet high. And the top was resembling a lamb in most ways, except a few. It was said to have blood, but not true flesh, as the flesh more closely resembled that of a crab. So it had, like, an exoskeleton.
Ew.
But it was still, like, lamb-shaped, but it didn't... had some armor on it.
All right, so the bones are on the outside.
Yes. And unlike a normal lamb, its hooves were said to have been made of parted hair, and it was the favorite food of the wolves in the area. So again... some origins of this myth. It's probably a case of misidentification of a plant, like how when Europeans went to, like, old-timey explorers went to, like, Africa, they saw rhinoceroses and thought that they were unicorns. They'd never seen one before.
Yeah.
So the underlying root of the legend is likely the cotton plant, which was not known to Europeans until the mid-20th century. Nobody knew about cotton until the 1950s, guys.
Oh.
That's actively not true. Yeah, so they didn't... Europeans didn't have cotton until the mid-12th century. And since wool was the main source of textiles, they saw something white and fluffy, and they assumed that it was wool growing on a plant.
Okay.
And then they kind of, yeah, pushed it all together. And there are actually a few similar creatures described in, like, ancient times in some... Jewish, specifically Jewish folklore. Herodotus wrote about trees in India that bore wool exceeding in goodness and beauty that of a sheep. Wikipedia did not say what tree he was talking about, so he could have been way off base. Additionally, Yedua of Jewish folklore is a lamb that is connected to the earth by a stem, and, you know, kind of similar looking to the vegetable lamb, and it also died when it was detached from the plant. And its bones were used in divination and other ceremonies, which I think is kind of neat.
Its bones?
Its bones. So in the Jewish folklore...
on the outside.
Well, apparently the Yedua of Jewish folklore was not crab-like in nature. That's so creepy. Now I'm just picturing, like, a little lamb jumping around, but instead of fleece, it has, like, crab armor, and it's orange, and it's kind of upsetting.
I'm kind of imagining, like, now that you said crab armor, like, actual armor, and, like, you can see the little tufts of wool peeking out from underneath, like, it's just, like,
oh, that would be very
set
cute.
On top.
And then also in Jewish folklore, there's a Jedua, which is the same type of creature, but instead of a lamb, it takes the form of a person.
Okay.
Nothing about its bones were mentioned on the Wikipedia page. So some possible explanations for the creature, like I said, it's likely rooted in just, like, misidentifications of a cotton plant. There's some more recent, late 1600s descriptions.
So recent.
Well, on the cryptids wiki page, the very first thing at the top, you see it, like, has some quote from something. It's like, there are no modern day sightings of this. Like, expand the article. Tell us your modern day sighting. I'm like, no, I know what cotton looks like now. But the German scholar and physician Engelbert Kampfer, great name, went to Persia in 1683 with the intention of locating the vegetable lamb. However, after speaking to native inhabitants and finding no physical evidence of it, he concluded that it was nothing but legend. But he did observe a native custom of removing an unborn lamb from its mother's womb in order to harvest the soft wool. And It didn't say why that they would do that.
Didn't they just say to harvest the soft wool?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know why they would use that. What they would use it for.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the ceremonial hats.
Maybe. Well, okay, that would make sense, because the next part is that he believed that that practice could have been a source of the legend.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah. And he speculated further that the museum specimens of fetal wool could have been mistaken for a vegetable substance. So, yeah, people saw the wool. They said it looked like a plant, but it was used for textiles.
Okay.
And then in 1689, Sir Hans Sloane gave a more realistic explanation, stating that the Chinese tree fern is the origin of the myth, and its scientific name is actually the something Boromes. I didn't write it down. But which is another name that the lamb was known by. The lamb shape is produced by removing the leaves from a short length of the fern's woolly rhizome. And I looked up what that is because I thought rhizomes were like in your DNA. It's like a rootstock is a rhizome.
Oh, so okay. It's, I also thought those were like, that was like a cell thing, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if it's another thing, but like specifically... Yeah, rootstocks and ferns are also called rhizomes. When you take that out and you cut off the, like, fern part, mm-hmm. and then you turn it upside down, it kind of looks like a little lamb.
Okay.
So, again, these people had very active imaginations. They did not have TV. They had to make up shit. So, they're like, well, this kind of looks like a lamb. So, this lamb grew on a plant. Which,
if it looks like a lamb, if it talks like a lamb.
If it eats grass like a lamb, if it has crab-like exterior like a lamb.
Then it is a plant.
Obviously. And so, like I said, zoophytes, that is not, we don't use that anymore. It's not really a useful term. Animals that were once thought of as zoophytes now include, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Coral animals, mm-hmm. jellyfish, sea anemones, sea pens and their allies.
And their allies.
I like to consider myself an ally of the sea pen. Yeah, so pretty much things that we know today as, like, sea cucumbers, sea anemones, mm-hmm. coral, they all thought that those were, like, a bridge between animal and plants. Which makes sense. If you were in the 1700s and you didn't know about anything.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I still forget. Coral actually an animal?
It's an animal, and then all the hard stuff is, like, it's when it dies, it hardens.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have about the vegetable lamb of Tartary. There's also a couple similar cryptids, like in a similar vein. One is the barnacle goose, which I believe it's a tree alleged to be in Ireland that would drop barnacles and then the barnacles were turned into geese. As well as the Chinese water sheep.
Oh, another sheep.
Another sheep. It's almost identical to the myth of the vegetable lamb, but... it was just in a different part of Asia.
Nice. So, is cotton edible? Like, is the cotton plant edible? You don't have to know the answer, but I just...
I don't think, like, the cotton fluffy stuff is edible.
Well, no, I mean, like, the rest of it, because I talked about, like, its flesh and its blood and stuff, so, like...
Let's find out.
Can you eat cotton?
Okay, so cotton seeds are full of protein, but toxic.
Okay, so not seeds.
Oh, but now they're making it, they're GMOing it, so it's not... Okay, what part of the cotton plant is edible? Let's find out. I don't want a 10% off coupon. I don't know what you're selling. Just tell me if I can eat this thing. Yeah, so it looks like the seed, but it's toxic. So, no, you can't eat it. But yeah, that's what I have. Yeah, because I'm trying to think, I don't know. But yeah, it's fun to think about things... in this kind of way. I think it's a cool exercise. I have a little trinket on my desk from when I was in Spain. I'm going to show it to you. It's my favorite thing. There is this big palace in Granada. It's like very, it's like Moorish architecture. It's beautiful. But there's this big fountain that is called the, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but there are like 12 stone lions that go around it. But the person who sculpted it had never seen a lion before. So this is what they look like.
Oh no,
they're so fucking goofy.
Oh my god, I think someone shaved just like half of a cat.
I'm obsessed. But yeah, so it's just kind of neat to see how people rationalize things when they didn't know anything about anything.
Yeah, I like that one, Lindsay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad that the story, you know, kept up your high from this week.
Oh, absolutely. This is just, my week has officially peaked now.
I'm so glad. But yeah, so if people want to tell us about things that they rationalized when they didn't know shit about fuck, or, you know, some other fun plant cryptids, how can they do that?
Step one, become a zoophyte. Step two, hatch from a gourd. Step three, eat all of the grass around it, but only in the shape of your message. So, like, as you're eating it, you have to spell out your message.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay and I will eventually figure out where you are. We'll find it, and we'll try to read it, but, like, if your mouth handwriting isn't neat, we might not know what you're saying.
We'll figure it out. I'm pretty good at reading handwriting, so we'll make it work.
Well, let's see about mouth writing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. But if you know that you have really sloppy mouth handwriting, then you can, it might just be easier for you to type it. So you can send us an email to justmightexistpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @justmightexist and send us a DM there.
Yeah. Or maybe also Tumblr @justmightexist. I'll post more things eventually.
I'm going to remember to say that again because
it is what it is.
But yeah, Erica, if you don't have anything else to add.
Wait, do you have sources?
Oh, yes. It's the Lamb of Tartary Cryptids Wiki and the Vegetable Lamb of Tartary Wikipedia page.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But do you have any more questions for me?
Yeah, Lindsay, what's the cryptid of the week?
No, fuck you. You have to do it. You're not Uno reversing me on this. You have to do it.
I tried so hard. What if I pull out an Uno reverse card? Does it count then?
Do you have an Uno deck in your house?
Yes.
Then no, it doesn't count.
Okay, cryptid of the week is getting the correct amount of stitches.